I'm Steve Potter, and ahead on Cityscape, the Archon Science Fiction Convention and sci-fi author Joe Haldeman. But first, our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, senior staff writer Ligaia Figueres. Welcome.
Hello, thanks for having us again.
Listen, I am really interested in our topic today because I have absolutely no knowledge of or experience with it. And we're talking about Filipino cuisine.
We are talking about Filipino cuisine. And I think there's a lot of people in St. Louis that aren't fully aware of what encompasses Filipino food.
Now, why is that? I mean, if you asked me to name one Filipino restaurant or a dish right now, I couldn't do it.
Okay, well, we'll start off. Now we can do it, which is why I'm here today, because there are more places where you can get Filipino food. It used to be that there was a restaurant called Nipa Hut, which was on Woodson Road in Overland, that closed in 2009. There was a teeny tiny grocery store on Olive in U City that was called Manila Food Mart. And at the time, you know, they sold some Filipino staples. They did some deli type products and finger foods. That closed. Now, someone that we're going to talk with today, he has been operating a place for a very long time, Emilio Bombais, and he owns Cafe Manila. And now we're going to also talk about his Manila Bistro, which recently opened up. Another person that we're going to talk with who has a place downtown, one of the places that you could find her and her aunt would be at festivals and you know, fairs and booths, which is frequently where St. Louisans could experience Filipino food at that kind of place. But really, apart from that, St. Louis really doesn't have, you know, a huge offering of Filipino, you know, not too many options, I should say.
Well, Ligaia, you have some Filipino heritage, I understand. Did you grow up with that?
I have to say, I haven't been to the Philippines. My father is half Filipino, and my grandfather arrived. He's from one of the northern islands in the Philippines called Luzon. The teeny tiny town is on the western coast, and it's called Santo Domingo. And he got to the States in 1917. He first arrived in California, and now they're in Chicago. And then he brought the masses, and you know, I've got quite a few relatives there. But so my father's part Filipino, which means I'm a quarter. I don't speak Tagalog. I'm fluent in Spanish, and there's many similarities, and we'll probably talk about that when we talk food too.
Well, let's meet our guests. I would like to welcome Ami Maminta McSwain.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Cityscape program.
Thank you. And you
with your aunt operate Abby Shellcorner Cafe, which is downtown at Locust and 13th.
Yes.
And also here is Emilio Bombais. And as you mentioned, Ligaia, it's Manila Bistro.
We have opened a new operation, which is Manila Bistro. But we have started Philippine food way back 1976.
Well, since you're talking with someone that is not familiar with Filipino food at all, can you talk just a little bit in general to begin with about what defines Filipino food, Ami?
Well, I think that different islands make different foods. Like, I learned from my mother, who was taught by my grandmother from Batangas. So it's a little different than my aunts and...
Because they're different, what we would call regions,
yes,
of the Philippines.
Yes, but I guess to describe it, it's like really fresh and...
What would you say? How would you describe Filipino food to someone that's not familiar with it at all?
Filipino food is a fusion, really, of a different culture since, well, number one is the Philippines is under 3 centuries with Spain. Mm-hmm. That's why you have the same, some words like adobo. Adobo is also... a very common word, and at the same time, there is so many influential countries that came to the Philippines, like the Portuguese, mm-hmm. they won there, and the Americans, and the Japanese, and the other ethnic group that blended together. So when you cook one food, it might be interpreted on a different version of regionality.
Mm-hmm. It was a Spanish colony for over 300 years, so sometimes the culture is described as semi-Hispanic, but it has other influences as well. It's sort of complicated.
Well, and also I think it's interesting to note, and maybe people don't realize that, there was a time when the Philippines, as part of the Spanish East Indies, was actually ruled via the Viceroy of New Spain, and so that was administered from Mexico City. So then you also see, you know, even American influences in the sense of the Mexican cuisine that, you know, comes through. Maybe you don't have nearly as heavy spices, but there's still, you know, things like menudo, tamales, and relleno are still, you know, parts of Philippine cuisine. And the other thing I think it's interesting to note, like Emilio was saying, is there's such geographic influences. Like the Philippines is really at a crossroads in shipping. And so if you want to know, for instance, I mean, they borrowed soy sauce from the Chinese as far as, you know, trading goes, or the Japanese. And then lastly, you know, the United States, which took over, the Philippines were under American rule until the end of World War II. One of the American influences of all things is canned goods. And so, you know, I mean,
Is that a good thing?
Well, I'll tell you what, my grandfather, he always kept Spam in the house. And I mean, canned meats like Spam, or, you know, canned fruit, that really is one of the gifts, in quotations, from, you know, Americans to the Philippines. But like Emilio said, it's such a matter of fusion. And the one, when you asked initially, what is Filipino food? If you think about where it is climate wise, some of the dishes that you get, I mean, you're asking about how do we preserve foods in a really hot tropical climate? And that's where one of the, I would say, if you guys want to, you know, chime in, sour flavors are kind of important. Things like what he mentioned is adobo. That's this fragrant vinegar laced, you know, stewing sauce where you would put, you know, meat and poultry and fish and vegetable, and it goes slowly simmering. But it's in this pickling type of spice, because think about it. I mean, it's a very hot place. How are you going to preserve that? Mm-hmm. Well, vinegar is a classic, you know, ingredient in Filipino cooking. For me, another one is peppercorn and pork and cooking oil. When I walked into the kitchen that Ami has over at Abbey Shell Corner Cafe, it was one of the first days that they were cooking Filipino food there, and I could smell that this was a Filipino kitchen. And they, I mean, this was a place that's just a lunch spot downtown, and there, it's a very distinctive smell, I would say, the Filipino kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Well, could we be specific about particular dishes? Maybe that'll give our listeners an idea of what's going on. Let's start with an appetizer. What would be something good before dinner, some Filipino appetizer that you might serve?
Shanghai.
Which is?
It's like little egg rolls in a spring roll. You can put beef in there or pork, and then it's deep fried, and then you serve it with sauce.
What kind of sauce?
It's like a, well, we use like kind of like a citrus sweet and sour sauce with mm-hmm. a little bit of spice to it.
Mm-hmm. Emilio, what might we begin with?
You can start with the traditional one. The Lumping Shanghai is similar to the Chinese food, but there is one we can call the Lumpia Sariwa, which is slices of jicamas, which again is another kind of vegetable, and you can blend it with string beans and stir fry it, and then roll it in a pancake and serve with a peanut garlic sauce. The peanut garlic sauce is coming from this sauteed of the vegetable, which is a blend of carrots and string beans and jicamas, or you can put the hearts of palm inside of that mm-hmm. one, and then you can roll it as a, just like a burrito, and then you can put some lettuce in there, and you can put the peanut garlic sauce on top of that one. It's not a can of peanut garlic sauce. Mm-hmm. It's a sauce that the juice coming from the stirring and sautéing this kind of food that makes different.
Yeah, you sold me on the peanut garlic sauce, I'll tell you right there. Ami, I know down at Abby's you serve some Filipino food for lunch, but not all the time. Is that the way it works?
Not all the time, because it's still almost, there's 11 buildings or 11 floors above us, so it also acts like their cafeteria pretty much. Uh-huh. So we take that as an opportunity to put in some Filipino foods.
Right. So what might you recommend for a good Filipino lunch item when you serve it?
Well, lately it's been caldereta or chicken adobo.
Would you describe those for us?
Sure. Caldereta is like a spicy beef stew with potatoes, black olives, and carrots, and we serve it with rice. And then chicken adobo is like marinated, like she said, in like vinegar, bay leaf, and soy sauce and stuff. And we serve that with rice as well. You can make it also pork adobo, but.
Mm-hmm. Emilio, how about desserts?
Desserts is, we have a different kind, just like we have the leche flan, which is a caramel custard, or a cream brulee. Mm. And also we have also the halo-halo, which is a mixture of old all kind of sweets that is sweetened by beans and coconuts and with shaved ice and purple almonds inside of that one.
Yeah, I've heard of one that interests me. What's the sort of a gummy coconut cake? That sounds really good.
Babinka.
Yes.
Yeah. Describe that to me.
The babinka is a rice that's grind and it's thickened and you cook it on banana leaves and try to it's either you can put it on in the oven or on two kinds of the traditional way of cooking with a heat on the bottom and a heat on top of it. That is usually babinka is you normally in the Philippines is a traditional food for during the holiday.
We're discussing Filipino food in St. Louis on our Soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine. This is St. Louis Public Radio. And what about you, Lagay? You have any favorites? Did you grow up with something in particular?
Well, I did. I have two memories. One, adobo. My dad just he would make that. I do have a love of lumpia, and that's because one of my relatives used to have a lumpia frozen food company located in Springfield, Illinois. So my favorite would be trips up to Chicago. We'd stop, and I remember that he would give us cases of frozen lumpia that, you know, we were desperate to get. Fry this up, Mom and Dad, you know. So, and I think when we say the word lumpia, maybe, you know, Emilio talked about lumpia sariwa, or the idea that lumpia itself is the idea of an egg roll, but it can be a spring roll that means fresh, you know, and not drowning in oil, in cooking oil, as opposed to, you know. So there's various options. And if, as we talk about, quote, options, you know, regionalism is really, I think it's important to recognize that there's 7,000 islands in the archipelago over there. And so the way that Ami's aunt, who is the primary chef over at Abbey Shell Corner Cafe, the way that she might make the food is going to be, you know, distinct from the way that Emilio would, or even the way that my own father would, because it's so highly tied even to both region, you know, your location, and even the way that your own family does it.
So we need to just try it all then.
We need to try it all.
That's basically what you're saying.
Absolutely, we need to try it all.
One thing I'm going to ask about, how about beverages? Are there any particular Filipino beverages of one kind or another that come to mind?
San Miguel beer.
San Miguel beer. No, I will. We haven't had a chance to speak about them, but I did leave out the folks over at Gorilla Street Food Truck. And while that is... they call it a Filipino-inspired food truck. One of the drinks that they serve at this food truck here in St. Louis is a calamansi cooler, and I love it. They started doing that when they first rolled out onto the street, so that's fabulous.
Okay, are you covering any of this in the latest edition of Sauce Magazine?
Now, Emilio is right at the back of our book this month in 5 questions for Emilio Bombay, and you can check out all sorts of Filipino news and notes at the end of the
book. Well, in the few seconds we have left over, since Filipino food is relatively new to our palates here in St. Louis, how's it going over? What's the kind of reaction do you get?
It's going really well at the Shell Corner Cafe. We have started having the customers give us suggestions for Wednesday, and it's really neat to see that they want adobo, or they want caldereta, or they want halo halo. So it's really neat to see that.
Emilio?
It's doing very well on our own part since we established the clientele that we've been doing this kind of foods for a long time.
Well, it's a segment of our food culture I'm looking forward to exploring.
Yeah, hopefully everyone is.
Ami and Emilio, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And Lagay Figueres, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks
Likewise.
For bringing this to our attention.
Thank you.
And this has been our monthly Soundbite segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine, and we'll get together and do it again next month. Thank you all again.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, the Archon Science Fiction Convention. This is St. Louis Public Radio.